thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah, my name is Olekoša, I'm a grad student at Columbia, and I will tell you a little bit about my research, which is mostly on probing the ionized gas with the SZ effect. And yeah, I would just like to say that this is work done with many people, not just by myself, including Colin and many others, also Alex, who's here. Okay, so the plan for today is, I probably don't have to do it, but just for any students, talk a little bit about the CMB and late-time anisotropies, and then talk in more details about one of those anisotropies, the SZ effect. Then I will talk about the detecting the kinetic SZ effect with the projected fields estimator, which I mostly work on. Then I will talk about the new era for the SZ measurements, of the current and upcoming experiments, talk about prospects of combining KSZ constraints with TSZ to constrain gas thermodynamics, and of course, end with future directions for my work. Okay, so let's jump right into this. So CMB, as everyone here knows, carries a lot of information about early times, but as the CMB photons propagate through cosmic times, they also interact with matter and gather a lot of information about the late time universe. So one of such well-known effects is the gravitational lensing of the CMB. So as the CMB photons travel through cosmic time, their paths get deflected because of the underlying matter density, and because of that, lensing is a great way to probe the total mass in the universe. Another such effect is the scattering of the CMB photons of free electrons in late universe, or how we like to call these electrons, gas or baryons in the cosmologist jargon. So this is known as the Sunyaev-Zeldovich effect, and is a great way to probe those electrons, those baryons, and this is going to be the main topic of my talk today. So yeah, so SZ effect, inverse complement scattering of the CMB photons of free electrons in galaxies and clusters in the late universe. And there are two main types, thermal and kinematic TSZ and KSZ. So in the case of the thermal one, it sources from electrons that are hot, and the signal is proportional to electron pressure. Because of that, TSZ is sensitive to those hot, dense structures in the universe, like galaxies or clusters of galaxies, and has a very unique frequency dependence that's very helpful, and I'm going to discuss in a second. For the kinetic SZ effect, KSZ, so this signal sources from electrons that are moving with a non-zero line of sight velocity with respect to the CMB, and because of that is proportional to electron momentum, or if you're willing to accept some assumptions about velocities, also to electron number density. So KSZ traces distribution of baryons as well as velocities on the larger scales. However, KSZ, since this is effectively a Doppler boost, preserves the primary CMB blackbody power spectrum, so it's quite difficult to detect. Okay, so what do we actually measure with first the TSZ effect? So TSZ, the change in the CMB due to the TSZ effect, is a product of the frequency dependence function and Compton Y, where Compton Y is effectively an integral over electron pressure profile. And this frequency dependence function that you can see on this little animation is actually very useful because it allows us to separate TSZ from other signals on the microwave sky and make maps of the TSZ effect or Compton Y if we have experiments that have more than one frequency channel. Okay, what about the KSZ? So for the KSZ, this is effectively an integral over electron momentum, so electron number density times velocity. So astrophysics times cosmology. So on the astrophysics side, KSZ allows us to trace the distribution of baryons. And because of that, is a great way to address the so-called missing baryon problems, because it traces not only those baryons, hot baryons in the center of galaxies, but also electrons on the outskirts. On the cosmology side, so KSZ is sensitive to the velocities on the larger scales. So we can use it to probe the underlying dark matter density as well as the growth rate of large-scale structure. And because of that, KSZ can be also used as a probe of cosmology, things like neutrinos, dark energy, gravity, probably many other things. Okay, so how do we detect KSZ? Well, it's a non-trivial task because KSZ is a very small signal. As you can see on this plot, it only starts dominating over primary CMB at very high L. It is also not possible to isolate KSZ based solely on its frequency dependence, as we do for the case of the TSZ effect. We cannot make a map of the KSZ effect. So the solution is to detect KSZ using various statistical estimators in combination with large-scale structure. And I listed some of the estimators here. For instance, there is the pairwise KSZ estimator that's based on this simple idea that if you have two clusters of galaxies, they would tend to move towards each other due to gravity, so their momenta would be negative, and you can stack those pairs of galaxies and detect KSZ as a function of separation. There is the velocity-weighted stacking, velocity reconstruction, where you try to reconstruct velocity, underlying velocity field, and measure KSZ in that way. However, these methods, as was shown in the Smith et al. Paper, are mathematically equivalent and require spectroscopic redshifts. So here the projected fields KSZ estimator comes in, so the one I personally work on. So the projected fields KSZ estimator is based on this very simple idea that if you have a clean blackbody CMB temperature map, this map has the KSZ in it. And since the KSZ signal traces the overall mass distribution, you should be able to detect KSZ by cross-correlating it with any large-scale structure field, so with galaxies or lensing, or you can pick your other favorite tracer. However, the simple cross-correlation then that one might be tempted to do, so KSZ cross large-scale structure, would vanish to the first order because of electron's velocity, which is as likely to be positive as it is to be negative. Therefore, the cross-correlation is expected to be zero. So the solution is to square the KSZ field first. So the recipe for the projected field KSZ estimator is as follows. So first, you want to have a clean temperature map. It's, of course, much easier said than done. But you want to have a clean blackbody temperature map. And then potentially Wiener filter it to extract the scales where the KSZ signal is the most dominant. And then you would like to cross-correlate this map with a projected, so 2D large-scale structure tracer. But as I said, the simple cross-correlation vanishes, so the solution is to first square the temperature map and then cross-correlate it with large-scale structure. And what is crucial about this estimator is that since it's a projected, so 2D estimator, we do not need redshifts for individual objects, individual galaxies. I use the overall redshift distribution for the modeling part, of course, but to make the measurement, I'm actually not using any redshift information here. Okay, so what do we measure with this projected fields estimator? So if you have the shift in the CMB due to the KSZ and U, which is, as I said, the line of sign integral over electron momentum, if you square it and cross-correlate it with a projected galaxy over density, we're going to take galaxies as our large-scale structure tracers from now on, you get this estimator, which is, again, the line of sign integral over this quantity that we call triangle power spectrum, which is a convolution, and it squeezes the rich information from the bispectrum to electron momenta, one galaxy over density, into this power spectrum estimator. And I would like to highlight Ragini Patki's work on including all terms, all triangle configurations to the bispectrum, which will be necessary for upcoming experiments. Okay, what can we learn from this estimator? So the signal is proportional to the fraction of baryons. So in the large scale limit, as we've been doing so far, we can constrain the overall abundance of baryons. However, with the current and upcoming experiments, we are hoping to say something about the shape of the gas density profile. So not only say how many baryons there are, but also say something about how these baryons are distributed within dark matter halos. One important note is that since we're squaring a temperature map, this is also effectively a really bad lensing estimator. So projected fields actually receives an important contribution from CMB lensing that needs to be accounted for and is actually the dominant term in the estimator. Okay, so I measured projected fields KSZ with the Unwise Galaxy Catalog and Planck data. So on the CMB side, I used some Planck maps. Then I used the Unwise Galaxy Catalog made by Alex. So this is basically a reprocessing of the WISE data from the WISE satellite. And has over 500 million galaxies on the full sky, and is roughly divided into these three subsamples, blue, green, and red, of mean redshift 0.1, 1.1, and 1.5. And you can see the redshift distribution of these galaxies here, of these subsamples here. I also introduced a bunch of new aspects to the analysis compared to the first time it was applied to data. I'm not going to go into details, but maybe I'm going to highlight the asymmetric quadratic estimator. So I actually lied. I did not square the temperature map. I multiplied two different temperature maps by each other to increase the signal to noise, two differently cleaned temperature maps to save some signal. Okay, so. So I used the so-called LGMCA map, which had TSZD projected, and a default Planck SMICA map.
And these are all based on all the frequencies? Or
yeah, these are black body maps, like ILC maps, based on all Planck frequencies, yeah, or most Planck frequencies.
So one of them is TSZD projected. Other one is not TSZ.
Yeah, exactly. So you can do this, and this TSZ, since the TSZ only goes into one leg of this estimator, the final cross correlation won't pick up the TSZ, which is a clever way to save some signal. So one map has to be TSZ projected, the other one doesn't have to. And you can do the same with other foregrounds as well.
Very naive question. So basically, you multiply temperature pixel by pixel?
Yeah, in real space, yeah, exactly. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah, so here is the measurement for the projected fields KSZ with unwise and Planck data. This is for unwise blue and unwise green, color-coded. And I'm going to explain what you can see on this plot because this is quite busy. So, okay. So the actual measurements are these dots with error bars, what we measure. And as I said, the signal is Lensing dominated, CMB Lensing dominated. So only after marginalizing over the Lensing term, we can get the KSZ signal, which is this blackish curve. And from that, we can obtain the overall amplitude of the KSZ signal, and from that, constrain the fraction of baryons. And we concluded that there is no missing baryons in those samples. However, we actually detected more baryons than expected in the green sample. So the green sample is a little bit of a mystery. We're pretty sure this is not CIB. We extensively tested for CIB contamination. However, we would like to reanalyze the green sample with better data and also in the HALO model. So this one was one of the reasons why we're developing this entire theoretical machinery to analyze the signal in the HALO model. So the first step here was to constrain the HOD, HALO occupation distribution, of unwise. So I did this assuming the standard Zhang et al. HOD model, which says that there are only central and satellite galaxies in dark matter halos. And you write the power spectra as a sum of the one halo and two halo terms in the HALO model, and then galaxy over density will be written down as this expression that includes the matter density and number of centrals, number of galaxies, redshift kernel, and so on. So with that model in mind, we fit the unwise galaxy-galaxy and galaxy-Lensing data from the original Krolevsky et al. Paper to our HALO model. We did it separately for each of the unwise samples to constrain six HOD parameters, as well as we derived some other quantities like bias, satellite fraction, HALO mass, and so on. So here I'm showing just the results for the green sample, but they are all in the paper for the blue and red. So if you're interested, feel free to talk to me after if you're interested in the HOD here. And I would just like to highlight that unwise as a sample is of great interest. Many people are working on unwise, including here. So you probably heard about the cosmology from unwise and ACT-DR6. There was also a recent detection of the bispectrum, Lensing galaxy bispectrum. There was some cosmology. There was some quasars selected from Gaia based on unwise data. However, all of these projects were missing realistic simulations, and I'm also in need of simulations, so I decided to take the Agora simulations from Yukio Mori, which are specifically made for cross-service EMB science, and make a galaxy, mock galaxy catalog for unwise in the Agora simulation. So I populated the Agora halos with my HOD. And here you can see a comparison for that when I'm comparing the galaxy-galaxy autopower spectrum from the Agora maps that I constructed with the original Kurlewski et al. Data. So they match pretty well. And we hope that these unwise simulations will be for use for multiple projects to test foregrounds, validity of our codes, and many others. Yes?
Is KSZ modeled? Like, are there KSZ maps that come?
Yeah, there are KSZ maps from, there are both tau maps and velocity, yeah.
Do you know how the KSZ maps are made? Is it from the in-body particle data, or?
I would assume so, yeah.
Approximation, or?
I actually don't know the answer, but we can check or ask Yukio. Yeah. Okay, so that's unwise.
So these simulations, they have, there is no gas in it, right?
That's yeah, so gas is like added after and painted. Yeah, exactly. Question? Okay. There was the unwise part. We have the HOD for unwise. The next step was to get the projected fields in the halo model. So that was done in this work led by Boris Bollier, where the main difficulty now comes from writing the bispectrum as a sum of the 1, 2, and 3 halo terms, which is, of course, very computationally expensive, but is implemented in this code class Z that many of you might have heard of or used. I'm also happy to talk more about classes Z if you're interested in any halo model, CMB and isotropies, which are all included in the code. So,
sorry, what is M1? What are the integrals over in these bytes? Are these angular bytes? So this is in K space.
I would say so. I would have to look at the, we can look after. That's okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know from the top of my head now. So Boris did this great work to develop the entire theoretical machinery for the KSZ, projected fields KSZ in the halo model. So he also did forecasts, where on the CMB side, we considered current and upcoming experiments like ACT, SO and CMBS4 and large scale structure. We not only considered galaxies from unwise, but also other large scale structure tracers like galaxy and CMB lensing. And for the unwise part, as I said, we already have the HOD that we could directly put these constraints into the code. So that was great. And here are some forecasts for the projected fields with unwise specifically, since we were still doing unwise. For ACT, Advanced ACT, which is the current DR6 release, which I'm working on, and we expect about the 17 sigma detection for projected fields here. And for SO, we expect much higher, about 60 sigma detection here. And with SO, we'll be able to for sure distinguish between various gas density profiles. With ACT, we might get a hint which profile is preferred for the gas, but with SO, we hope to be able to distinguish between those. And what is also very exciting about SO is that it will be possible for us to use other large-scale structure tracers, not only galaxies, but also galaxy lensing from Euclid, as well as CMB lensing from SO. So it also will be possible to detect KSZ kind of internally within SO. So
left and right plots are the same in y-axis?
I hope so. Yeah. Sorry, I can't be here, but I don't know. Sorry. I would assume so, yeah.
What are the ranges or color?
These are just to distinguish between the color doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So the KSZ might be different, like what actually detected because, so here we go to the same LMAX, as you can see, but the filter might be different. So you also have to remember that we are filtering the KSZ itself. So the shape might be different depending on the filter, so that goes into the modeling. Yeah.
Sorry, question. So in this case, Cmaps, well, what if there is some contamination from radio sources or TC that are left in it? So how can we tell that your answer is not biased by those extra contaminants?
Yeah, so I will talk a little bit more about foregrounds in a second. So I will touch on the foregrounds, yeah, okay. But first, let me show you my ongoing work for the for this cross-correlation, but with ACT-DR6 data for unwise blue. So you can see the old measurement with Planck and the ongoing one with ACT. So the first thing to notice is that now with ACT, we are able to go to significantly smaller scales because of the higher resolution of the experiment, as well as our error bars, our significance gets better as our error bars shrink. The measurement is, again, lensing dominated. However, I would like to stress that the curve that I plotted here is not a fit. It's just a theory prediction where I used my HOD as well as the default AGN Battaglia 2016 gas density profile. And this already matches reasonably. There, we of course need to do the actual fitting here, but the theory prediction, the default theory prediction already is in the ballpark of the measurement. So I guess that's maybe reassuring, maybe not. So after we convince ourselves that this measurement here with ACT is truly free of foregrounds, which I will talk in a second, that the hope is to constrain the density profile here with unwise.
Did you use the symmetric means for this one?
Sorry?
Can you say a little bit about what asymmetric means for this one?
Asymmetric?
Yeah.
Like, are you saying, talking about the shape here, or?
Well, just the label and the.
Oh, sorry. That means the asymmetric method where I, so these are the measurements where just one leg is the TSZD projected, the other one is not. So this.
Is that just, are those foreground clean maps made from ACT alone, or?
So these are, this is actually with Planck, so combination with Planck. So yeah, we need Planck for the highest L, for the lowest L's here, and yeah, DR6 black body maps are a combination of ACT and Planck data.
Should I compare the with error bars? Should I compare those to the total or to one of?
To the total, yeah, exactly, because what we are measuring is the sum of the lensing contribution, so the dominant term as well as the KZ itself. Oh. So we marginalize over the lensing here.
Oh. So, you know, it looks like the it's under-predicting.
Yeah, that's true, but it's just, you know, a simple theory. Like, I just plotted the curve, so there's some uncertainty on the HOD parameters, of course, right? I just checked some gas density profile. I haven't actually done the fitting. Yeah, exactly.
I have a question. Can you explain why, or maybe you did, I missed it, why does it cross zero at L of 2000 or so?
I think that's a coincidence related to the filter. So the shape here is, the lensing term is related to the filtering here that we do. If we weren't filtering the CMB map, the lensing term actually wouldn't show up. So it's related to the filter.
So it's the lensing that crosses zero there.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see that in the Planck version, like, it was at some different L. Similar, but some different L. Mm. Yeah. So that would, I think, shift depending if we change the filter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, while you're stopped, the last one. do you have a sense for the systematic uncertainty in the modeling curve, like HOD, redshift, the HOD parameters, the redshift distribution, gas profiles, like how much does that shift the theory curve?
Yeah, so HOD actually has some impact, significant impact. So even within the uncertainties from our HOD model, this curve can shift like visibly. So the goal is to fit KSZ along with Galaxy data for a joint fit for both HOD and electron pressure profile. Yeah. For the DNDZ uncertainty, I don't have a response yet. That probably matters, as you know, if you shift the DNDZ a little bit. that might change, and we're for sure gonna do these tests of checking how it changes, yeah, with the NDZ. Okay, yeah, so now speaking of foregrounds. So the two main foregrounds that we worry about here are the TSZ and the CIB. So the TSZ is actually easy, and I kind of touched on that already, where we use the we simply use a TSZ deprojected map. We believe we know that we can do this, we can remove TSZ during the construction of the map. And we use the so-called asymmetric method that I mentioned, where only one leg of the estimator has to be TSZ deprojected to say some signal. For the CIB, it's a little bit more difficult, but here we actually use the fact that we would expect the cross correlation of the KSZ with galaxies to be zero. So with that, we can construct a clean map, which would be a linear combination of our original temperature map as well as some dust template, and explicitly require that this final map has a zero cross correlation with galaxies, and that way ensure that it's it doesn't have any CIB. So here's some attempt to do these cleaning and these tests, and these are all preliminary, so might change a lot. But to give you some sense of what's going on with the CIB. So first, this is a correlation of the temperature map, not squared, just temperature map, with filtered, not squared, with galaxies. So first, in the light blue, if I take a TSZ deprojected blackbody map, but don't do any extra CIB cleaning, you can see that I detect some signal here. And this is most likely CIB in the shape of the filter that we do, in the shape of the Wiener filter here. However, if I do the extra cleaning with ACT 220 as a CIB template, whether this is the best template, this is debatable, but this is the best one we've got so far. So if I do this extra CIB cleaning that I described here with ACT 220 as a CIB template, you can see that this is the final cross correlation is nicely zero. So also on these larger scales, because I would have to combine it with some other Planck map to clean out those scales. So this is to be done still. But on the ACT scales, this is nicely zero here. So we believe this is a good null test and tells us that the clean map, the final map that's going to go into our cross correlation is truly blackbody. And then we have another test that's actually very powerful, would be to do something like T dust times T clean cross correlate with galaxies. So any residual contamination that's present in this T clean map will be potentially picked up by this T dust and then correlate with ANWISE. So it will tell us about anything, CIB, TSZ, anything else, that's present in this T-clean map, and this test would fail. So here are some of my attempts to do those tests with T-dust at the larger scales with Planck 545 as a T-dust and ACT 220 minus 150 as T-dust. So technically, none of those tests are failing. However, I wouldn't trust those since I didn't even explicitly clean out those larger scales. But this is the basic idea of the null test that we will do. And only once they pass, we'll believe that our T-clean is truly just blackbody KSZ plus primary CMB. So that's the idea. And I guess you ask about radio. So for radio, so we mask, of course, the brightest radio point sources. In the very early projected fields work, it was compared to simulations where the TSZ, where the signal was much higher than the contamination from the radio point sources. So I hope this still holds, but we will need to revisit that and do some more tests on the radio sources, probably with more masking and so on. So another step on another front is comparison of the projected fields to simulations, since this has not actually been done for the projected fields KSZ. So it was led by Lucy Avko, who was an intern at CCA, where Lucy compared the predictions of our HALO model with WebSky simulations using CMB lensing as a large-scale structure tracer. And Lucy found that there is a really good agreement on the largest scales, which is great. However, on smaller scales, there is some disagreement here. You should look at the purple and the WebSky measurements here, the purple curve and the WebSky measurements. So we think this disagreement on the larger scales might be due to the extra terms that were pointed out in this Patki et al. Paper that I mentioned, which considered all the triangle configurations to the bispectrum. We only considered the dominant term so far. The next step would be to use galaxies as large-scale structure tracers for this comparison, and this is to be done by Michael, who is a Columbia Bridge student, and he will use those maps from Agora that I mentioned. Okay, so now let's switch gears and talk about TSZ. So I work on a complementary measurement for TSZ with Anwise and ACDR6. And in principle, that should be a very easy measurement. You just take a Compton Y map that someone else made. You take the galaxies that Alex made, and you do the cross-correlation and constrain the pressure profile. Of course, it's never that easy, as we have to worry a lot about foregrounds in this cross-correlation. Yeah, so but before that, I'm just going to show you a snapshot of the Planck and ACT Compton Y map for you to appreciate the better resolution that we're getting now with ACT. So this is the old, Planck Compton Y map, the default one. And I'm going to show the same patch of the sky for the ACT map. So Planck, ACT. So we can hopefully see the better resolution, smaller scales, the same location of the clusters, and so on. Planck, ACT. Hope it's visible. So we're using that ACT-DR6, a Compton Y map made by Will Colton to do this measurement. However, as I said, we worry a lot about foregrounds, where the main foreground is the CIB contamination. So what people have been doing in the past to mitigate CIB is just deprojecting CIB as a modified black body, which is parameterized by this beta, as well as the temperature of the CIB, and doing this during the process of the Compton Y map construction during the ILC. However, it is known that modified blackbody is not the best model. There is also uncertainty on these parameters. So the question is, what do we do about CIB contamination? And we think that deprojecting only CIB is not enough with the current small error bars. And you can see an illustration of this on this plot. So here I'm showing TSZ with ACDR6 and Anwise Blue galaxies, so Y cross G, for different CIB contamination. And in these two cross correlation in different shades of gray, you can see that these only deproject CIB, assuming some values for the temperature of the dust as well as some values for the beta parameter. These are all like reasonable values, taken or close to the Planck values for these parameters for the CIB. And you can see that there is a huge variation of the final cross-correlation if I only change this beta parameter slightly. So that probably tells us that this is not the most robust way to handle the CIB contamination. And also, what value for beta should we even take? Like, it's unclear. We would have to do the fitting for the CIB parameter separately to figure out those values. So what we are doing in DR6 now is to handle the CIB contamination is not only deprojecting CIB, but also deproject the first moment of the Taylor expansion of the CIB parameters, so d beta and dt. And this is based on some earlier papers and earlier work. So you can see an illustration that this works in these curves in different shades of blue. When we deproject not only CIB, but also the first moment of either beta or T, these final curves seems to be insensitive to, seems to nicely converge and be quite insensitive to the exact values of the CIB parameters. So this is probably the most robust way to mitigate, to handle the CIB contamination in the Compton Y maps. And of course, there is more disagreement as we go to higher L, or as there is more noise. However, we still think this is the best that we can do currently to handle the CIB issue here. And with that measurement, we're working on constraining the pressure profile of unwise galaxies here.
Sense of why on large scales, like some number, like you seem to do worse than, like, say, beta equal one. Kind of ask because I try to do a bit and then I saw something like that. The better I do on small scales, the worse I do.
I think it might honestly be related to the fact that there is a transition from Planck region to the ACT region here. Potentially it's related to that, since this is where the crossover kind of happens. So I would say so, but I don't think there is any clear explanation why it's lower here specifically. I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah. It might be also a coincidence. I believe I might have seen in some other cross correlations that it was the other way also. So I think it might be just an accident, yeah. This is quite technical, but CIB is a huge issue nowadays, and we have to take all precautions to make sure our final cross correlation doesn't have any CIB leakage here. Okay, so I'll just quickly mention this other project that I've been doing with Kristen Sorau, who's another PhD student at Columbia and Colin. So I was telling you a lot how unwise correlates so much with the CIB. If any CIB leaks into our final map, that would immediately correlate with unwise and bias our measurements. So it turns out unwise is a great tracer of the CIB, actually. So we try to ask the opposite question. Can we use unwise to remove the CIB to help with the blackbody measurements using various ILC methods? And the key point here is that those large-scale structure data, unwise, won't correlate with primary CMB and KSZ. So with KSZ because of the electron velocity, as I mentioned. And you can see a little snapshot of this work on this plot. And if you're more interested in this, feel free to ask me after, and I'm happy to talk about this work in more detail. So here on this plot, I'm showing a correlation coefficient between the CIB field at some frequency, 353 gigahertz, and standard, idealized, and also our new methods. So we want this correlation to be as close to zero as possible. We don't want any CIB in our final map. And you can see that for some standard methods, if you don't do anything to clean out the CIB explicitly, you just do some standard ILC or something else, the correlation coefficient might be very high. In the idealized method in green, if we don't include CIB at all in the model, on the other hand, it's exactly zero. So we want to get to the green curve as closely as possible. And here I highlighted some of our new methods that we consider, which are spatial deprojections of the CIB, or also TSZ. And you can see that these new methods can get very close to zero with only unwise. This is only using unwise data. With future upcoming experiments like Euclid, LSST, if you get all CIB sourcing galaxies, in principle, you can clean out the entire CIB with those methods. If anyone is interested more in this, I'm happy to talk about this after. Okay. And now, just to give you a big picture of my SZ work also, where this is all going. So in the long term, I would like to combine the constraints from the KSZ effect with constraints from TSZ, add information from lensing, so I will have constraints on gas density, pressure, as well as mass, and with that constrain the thermodynamic profile of the electron gas in those distant galaxies. Then these constraints could be compared with hydrodynamical simulations, and we would be able to say something about feedback processes, which feedback models are the closest to the data that we're getting here. And as we all know, feedback is necessary for the stage four science, for instance, for neutrino mass constraints from lensing experiments. So this feedback thing is a long-term goal, but definitely very, very exciting and needed. And for some future plans for all my other projects is I would, of course, like to continue working on KSZ. KSZ is exciting to many people. I talked only about the astrophysics side, but hopefully we will be able to do cosmology soon with KSZ. There is a lot of other large-scale structure tracers that we can do projected fields with, Euclid, CMB lensing, SST, spherics, DESI, and so on. Constraining these SZ effects to, combining these SZ effects to constrain feedback is another long-term goal, as I said. There's some work that needs to be done on NWISE, like improving the NDZ. We have those great simulations that we can use to test foregrounds. And on the other parallel front, I would like to work on foreground mitigation techniques that I mentioned here, like the DCI beam method, the first moment deprojections, and so on, as this will be crucial for upcoming cross-correlation. So thank you. I will end here, and I'm happy to take any other questions.
Have you tried to do so that so CIB and NWISE super correlated? So then that would suggest you could do projected fields KSZ with the CIB.
The CIB. Yeah, that's could be an option. I have not thought about it, to be honest. That's a good idea, yeah. Yeah, that would require probably adding adding something else to constrain the CIB parameters. So some CIB cross correlation with something else, maybe with lensing. Yeah.
And then another CIB related question. Can you DCIB enough to measure the KSZ power spectrum?
Yeah, so that's the goal. I'm not gonna answer this question yet because we are checking this.
Okay.
Yeah.
The further questions?
I have a silly comment. So did you gonna say they're just calling it dusting rather than DCIB? Mm-hmm.
I did not. That's dusting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like you're hiding dust. I don't know.
No, you're dusting.
Dusting.
Have you
ever Okay. Okay.
So let's go.
I will.
Dust from houses.
That's yeah. Okay.
Okay. Are there questions or?
I was wondering. You showed the spots of the galaxy KSC squared cross-correlation of the KSC and lensing contributions.
Yeah.
I was wondering how much modeling uncertainty there was in the lensing. Being able to model that as a cracked box.
Yeah, so the assumption is that, like, you know, we can model lensing. We understand lensing pretty well. But probably with the upcoming experiments, we would need to revisit this on the smallest scales. You also get a mixing of scales here since you're doing the convolution. So this is probably an important thing to consider, like how much uncertainty there is on lensing.
I mean, on these scales, like with the galaxy survey,
yeah. Yeah, this is definitely something that needs to be revisited with for D dr6 definitely for SO, because you know with Planck the error bars were so large that the assumption that we understand lensing was probably enough. But here, yeah, that's something that needs to be done for this work.
Yeah, like a related question, maybe. Like, you know, so when you square the temperature, you said, you know, so in pixel space, what is the pixel scale actually here? I mean, like, so is this like
Yeah, so this is like inside of like the 8192, so it's like half a arc minute. Yeah, maybe that's the pixel size if I remember correctly. Maybe.
So, okay, good. And so then at the galaxy redshifts, that would correspond to like a physical scale of like a megaparsec or so. Is that right?
Probably, yeah.
So in those scales, then you know, do you have to worry about like you know high order biases for the galaxy? It sounds like you're assuming, you know, HOD, you see like, you know, some like linear.
Yeah. So, I guess. So the linear galaxy bias was done for the measurement with Planck, right? But for the HOD, there is always a way to like refine the HOD models here and so on.
Well, in your simulations, I suppose that all these higher order biases will be present.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So
yeah.
In your simulations, you know, so if you apply this, you know, similar procedures to remove, you know, dust and so on, you know, in those sims, do you recover the correct?
Yeah. So we haven't done the KSZ with the sims yet. That's an ongoing work. That's a good point. Probably we'll have to worry about these things. I haven't thought about this yet. That's we're still about to do the comparison for galaxies for the simulations. So this is not done yet, but
yeah.
But important thing too. Yeah, there's a lot of things that now with the smaller error bars comes greater responsibility. So a lot of things that we have to worry. all of these comments are, you know, very helpful, and there is a lot of things that we need to take into account for these measurements here with precision.
Okay, so any more questions? Okay, so if not, thanks again, Ola, for
Thank you.